Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Is it strange? How do you think that I might forget all love is radiating further away?
You're with the Priest, the Pom, and the Poof on the Spirit Lounge, the show that explores sexuality and spirituality for our community.
And yes, it is good evening and welcome to Spirit Lounge, and we are all present and correct. We have Bertie, Andrew and Joy.
We do. Good evening. Welcome to the Spirit Lounge, and we have a fun packed show again tonight. And joining us this evening is a wonderful lady called Ellen Spaulding, who is a civil celebrant. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you for having me.
We're going to chat to Ellen during the course of the show to hear all about how you become a celebrant and what it's like to be a celebrant and actually what they do.
Exactly.
So has everyone had a good week? Did you have a good week, Priestie?
It's Monday. Yeah. It's just started.
Last week, though, I haven't seen you for a week.
I can't remember. I did get two puppies.
Nothing much. Just got a few new.
That was about 3 weeks ago, but Bertie somehow missed out on the news. Probably because you were away at the time.
Yeah. Well, you know I'm an animal fan, so I was very upset to know you've had puppies for 3 weeks and you haven't told me, have you got a picture to show me.
Well, I will send you a picture, okay?
And I would just like to say well done to everybody who paddled, swam and waded their way into town to the Stevie Nicks concert on Saturday. I was one of them. It was pouring with rain. It was so wet, the animals were lining up two by two, I think. And in fact, next week I'd quite like to play some Stevie Nicks. But anyway, went there, saw Dave Stewart, saw Stevie Nicks. Absolutely awesome.
And was there a roof?
Well, luckily we were sitting under the roof, but there were an awful lot of people who weren't sitting under the roof, but they were sitting under their brollies. And well done, Melburnians, because, you know, you're very committed and very loyal to people like Stevie Nicks. But she was fabulous. So hello to everyone who went to the concert. Wasn't it a good show? And it was a shame it was so wet. Anyway, we're going to kick off with the first track. And Ellen has given us most of the music tonight. So, Ellen, you're going to introduce the first track and tell us why and what it means to you and why it's so good.
This is Inside and Out by Feist. Mm-hmm. Just one of those killer tracks that you can't listen to too many times. It was actually Bee Gees' number in the 70s, and she redid it probably about 10 years ago, and I just love it.
Brilliant. Let's have a listen.
And you're on Spirit Lounge with the Priest, the Pom and the Poof. Now, back on the 26th of September, for anyone that can remember that long ago, we actually interviewed Matt Glover. Matt is the minister of Lilydale Baptist Church. I want to play for you tonight an excerpt from that interview. Now, Matt, you're a married man with a young family. So what has motivated you to get so actively involved in the LGBTI community?
Look, it kind of happened by accident to begin with. My background before I was a minister is in science. I have a science degree. And when I was at university, a science degree is very practical. And so when I was doing my experiments and working with prac partners, more often than not, I had a gay or lesbian prac partner, or somebody in my research group was a gay or lesbian person. And these people became my stereotype of what a gay or lesbian people, what gay and lesbian people were. And they were really quite normal and ordinary.
And thank God for that.
Yeah.
Until he met us.
That's right. And, you know, they became my friends at university. I was the only one from my high school that made it to Melbourne Uni that particular year, a very small high school.
I thought you were going to say you were the only one who was straight.
No. So these were the people that became my friends and the stereotype for me. Then when I entered into ministry, recognising that there was such a vacuum there in terms of ministry to the gay and lesbian community of Melbourne. It wasn't something that was very popular. And my wife and I got involved with that just at a very small level to begin with. And then as time went on and we saw that the needs were so great, our involvement just became greater and greater. The only statement that the Baptist Union of Victoria has made about anything to do with gay and lesbian people is around ordination of ministers. And the wording says something like that the Baptist Union of Victoria will not ordain practicing homosexual people. That's the only thing that's ever been said. Churches, individual churches, are free to call who they want, as I said, as their minister. I do know of two Baptist churches in Victoria that have called gay ministers in their time. And there are plenty of Baptist churches that have gay members or gay people on their membership rolls. Plenty of Baptist churches that have gay people in fairly significant leadership positions, leading worship on Sunday, at Sunday services. Then there are other Baptist churches that won't let a gay person in the front door.
That was Matt Glover, who was on our show a few weeks back. And we've got a little bit of an update with his situation. We're just going to run through a few excerpts from his Facebook. Just an update on my situation here at Lilydale Baptist. On Sunday just gone, a special meeting was called for the 27th of November. At this meeting, the members will vote on removing me from the position as senior pastor. As mentioned, the reason for the vote is my ministry with GLBT people and my support for gay marriage. Katrina and I have moved through the phases of disbelief, extreme sadness, fury, and now are just numb. In 7 weeks, it has gone from smooth sailing to facing unemployment. Should that eventuate, we're not sure of what will come next. I don't know if I could still be a pastor. Until the 27th, I have been released from all responsibilities on Sundays and will not attend the services. I'll still be doing pastoral care, funerals and weddings, etc. during the week. Thank you for your prayers, support and encouragement. Katrina and I appreciate you more now, more than you know.
Now, on the 10th of November, Matt posted his next piece. To clarify, I actually have the support of the leadership of the church. Some agree with me on this issue, while others agree to disagree, but only one wanted me to resign. However, the mood of the congregation has forced their hand to put it to the vote. I would like to stay at Lilydale Baptist Church, but increasingly see this as an unlikely outcome. Even if the vote goes in my favour, it may simply be impossible to minister in such a situation. The Victorian Baptist Ministers Network has been really good. Many have offered support publicly, many have contacted me privately to share their own stories. The situation has generated some healthy discussion about pastor-church relations, and I've enough offers for coffee and lunch to see me through to the middle of next year.
And then yesterday, Andrew and I received this message. Hi, Andrew and Joy. Thanks again for your words of support over previous weeks regarding my position at Lilydale. The period of listening and discernment is over, and next week, 27th of November, the church votes on whether to remove me or not. If it goes against me, the dismissal is effective immediately. I've been hesitant to speak too much about it during that discernment period, but now that it's over, I'm happy for news to be spread a bit further. I can't come in myself, but if you want to mention the situation on your radio show on Monday night, I'm happy for you to do so. I don't want the minority voice to win this fight. Wow. Isn't it just incredible in this day and age that they would seek to get rid of someone who seeks to help people.
I know.
Who are disenfranchised.
And I think it's worth re-clarifying, which when Matt was on the show, what we learnt about the Baptist church is that they're quite autonomous, and the congregation have quite a big influence in terms of who the pastor is and how the church is run. And it's, this is not coming from head office or headquarters or up high. This is actually coming from the local congregation that he is there to help.
However, the powers to be are very much against gay marriage. Let's be very clear on that.
Well, there's a statement
that was made on the 24th of August saying that members of Baptist churches in Australia overwhelmingly support the current definition of marriage as between one man and one woman and rejects any moves to extend the definition to include same-sex relationships.
So, yeah, yet again, unfortunately, there's another denomination that is against same-sex couples almost existing, aren't they?
Here we have a straight couple who believe that in ministry they're called to help all people, including GLBTIQ people, and they are being persecuted basically because of their stand. But tonight what we want to ask you to do is to send messages of support via SMS to us, and we will pass them on to Matt. Our SMS number is 0427 Joy 949. That's 0427 Joy 949. Or they can email Alberti.
They can. Please email us onair@joy.org.au. So if you're listening tonight and you've heard our story about Matt Glover, who is straight, he's the pastor at the Lilydale Baptist Church, and the congregation are now about to vote him out because he supports the GLBTIQ community. Just outrageous. So if you'd like to voice your support, we'd love to hear from you. We'll pass it on. Matt, if you're listening, hi, and keep smiling.
And our next track is called Judas by Lady Gaga. How appropriate.
And you're on the Spirit Lounge with the Three P's. We're here every Monday night from 9 till 10. And in case you're new to us, the Three P's are the Priest, the Pom, and the Poof, fondly known as Joy, Bertie, and Andrew.
And we've got a C with us tonight.
And we've got a C with us tonight. In fact, a CC.
A CC?
Yes, a CC. We've got a civil celebrant with us.
Couldn't we put a P in there somewhere?
Alan, is your middle name beginning with a P?
No, but my first name begins with an E. Does that help?
No.
No. We've got Ellen Sporting with us, who is a civil celebrant, and we're going to find out all about what that really means. Now, let's get to know you first, Ellen. Tell us about your own upbringing and where you spent your childhood, and was it particularly religious or spiritual?
I am 100% a Melbourne girl.
Mm-hmm.
Grew up in Albert Park, went to school in Carlton, very inner city. And no, I didn't grow up in a spiritual home at all. My parents, I think both of them probably had religion in their childhood and in their family histories, and they were part of a generation that sort of chose to move away from that. So it was a very secular household, and in a way religious or spiritual ideas kind of verge on slightly irrational. That's sort of the some of the ideas floating around, but not in a sort of overt way. But
so they weren't that prominent in your upbringing.
No, no. I have since, as happens with very secular households, sometimes I've had quite a strong interest in Tibetan Buddhism for probably almost 20 years.
Mm.
So that's just it's not a big thing. I don't belong to a community. I don't even have a teacher, really. But I have always done a lot of reading, and I do go to teachings regularly.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's inside myself. That's a big part of who I am.
Mm.
So you've only recently become a CC.
Yes, I'm a new CC.
What did you do beforehand, and how did you come to become a civil celebrant?
I was always a bit vocationally challenged in my life, my adult life. I've done lots of bits and pieces, lots of study, and always trying to find the thing that really grabbed my attention. I got a job probably almost 15 years ago in a bookstore in Fitzroy, sort of a casual job, and I never managed to leave it. And I ended up managing the bookstore. And that, especially the last part of that, was a really brilliant experience, great exposure to ideas and literature, art and architecture, you know, fantastic education. Yeah. But I was really, in the last 5 or more years, trying to find a way to move out and plan a new kind of future.
Trying to find your path.
Yeah, and something I connected with on more of a heart level, I guess. And really, I don't know why, but I was having a conversation with my partner and our housemate, and it just hit me, this idea that maybe I could be a celebrant. Mm. It was really like that. It was a bit of a bolt of lightning. But I realise now, since becoming a celebrant and talking to people, it's actually very common that people have the idea of being a celebrant.
They get the calling.
They get the calling. Not everyone follows through with it, but so many people say to me, I've thought about doing that. Thought about doing that. And I think there's reasons for that. One thing is, it's a profession. It's not like medicine or law where you start studying when you're 19 and, you know, you establish yourself in that way. Yeah. A lot of people become celebrants after a whole range of other careers. Mm. And so anyone who's thinking they might like a change in their life, it's a very common idea.
So it can be a second or a third career, almost, or a fourth career.
Yeah, and you can actually have other... it's hard to make a living as a celebrant, actually. So there are people who do have other jobs while they're practicing celebrants as well.
So do you have a celebrant school that you go off to with your play lunch? And
I did. I went to celebrant school. It was one semester Cert 4 course, and I actually found a great course just at VU. Uh-huh. There's a lot of private tuition as well, private colleges doing the same certification.
Yeah.
So you do require the certificate for in celebrancy. It's very tightly managed by the Attorney General's Department, the whole profession. So they require that certification. And then there's quite a rigorous registration process through the Attorney General's Department, sort of establishing if you're a fit and proper person.
Oh, so you are assessed?
Yes,
for suitability.
You are. So you have to get references, and you do tests, you know, have to answer questions and get things signed by, you know, police stations.
Yeah, you have to, yeah. No, yeah, you have to.
That you're of good character.
Good character, lots of certified copies of things.
And no criminal record. And
yeah, because it's interesting, the professional ideas and the practice around it and the people working around it really are talking about the fact that you have a position in the community that is valuable and matters, and that you affect people's relationships, and that society values that role, and it's an important role. So it has to be done well. And there's a lot of argument about the management of that, because it's an important role.
And you have to do it according to the regulations, because there was some kerfuffle recently about some people weren't saying the appropriate words.
Yes.
And therefore there was discussion about whether people were legally married or not.
Yeah. Well, a civil celebrant, like a minister who is registered to perform legal weddings, is changing the legal status of the couple. And there's also, because there are issues around the wording of the Marriage Act and excluding people, there's protection. So it's a very, there's a lot of regulation. Yeah.
This is fascinating. We're going to come back and talk more about this, about how you become a celebrant and what it involves. But I think the next track is one of your choices. So tell us about this.
Okay. So this is a bit of a classic. This is Nick Cave, Into My Arms. I have since recently discovered that this is a great funeral song, but also a great wedding song.
There you go.
And that's very unique.
Wow. Double whammy.
Into my arms.
And you're on Spirit Lounge with the Priest and the Pomp and the Poof. And we have with us Ellen Spaulding, who's a celebrant. Ellen, what type of ceremonies do civil celebrants do? And exactly what's your role in those ceremonies?
Well, the core role, or the core ceremony really, that takes up most of the training, etc., and that you're most regulated about is legal heterosexual marriages. That is the ceremony that the Attorney General's Department is ensuring that you do properly. Every other ceremony, any other kind of ceremony, the Australian government's not so worried about. So basically, you can do anything. Anyone can do a funeral. Anyone can do a baby naming, anyone can do a same-sex commitment, anyone can do a divorce ceremony, but that's what civil celebrants are working in. I have one of my teachers, she does a lot of work doing pet funerals, and she has a really thriving business doing that, and it's very dear to her heart. She's an animal lover,
yeah.
But she also does, she'll do funerals, she does a lot of weddings and as well. So personally, I'll do whatever I'm asked to do. If someone needs a ceremonial situation created, if they need some ritual created around an important major event, I'll be doing
it. It's fascinating because you hear about celebrants and you just think weddings, don't you? And what's interesting about what you said is that, yeah, the as you just said, legally you're changing the status of two people in a straight wedding.
Yep.
And then everything else that you're doing is has less legal connotations.
Exactly.
Yeah, so
exactly.
You're an upholder of the law, really, aren't you, in the straight weddings?
In terms of weddings, yes.
Yeah.
But then there's very important roles celebrants play. I think the practice of running funerals is very important, and it's a very big area for those who choose to do funerals. And there are people out there who don't want to bother with weddings. Weddings are kind of hard work, and there's bridezilla, and you know, there's page boys who run amok and all that sort of stuff. And there is a core of people who work almost full time doing funerals.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of practice, there's a lot of books, there's a lot of discussion around the meaning of a good funeral and how to present that and create that for a family. So I personally am really interested in funerals.
So have you done study around developing ritual that's meaningful?
Yes. The course is only one semester, so it's limited how much you do. So we did a small amount of stuff around, you know, a wine ceremony or a sand ceremony or hand fasting, which I'd never heard of, but it's really big in
the
wedding world.
What's hand fasting?
It's when the couple have their hands tied together with a ceremonial ribbon or string or scarf or something. And, you know, it has pagan origins or something like that. There's a whole range of ritual, and there are people who are real experts in ritual, and they know the cultural significance for various cultures of you know, particular rituals. So there has been a course at Monash, which was, I think, a degree course and beyond, which I don't know whether that still exists. But that offered, I think, probably more extensive training in ritual. But we really could just touch on it.
So you can become a specialist if you want to in a certain type of ceremony.
Yeah, if that interested you. And maybe you could sell yourself, because a civil celebrant's running a small business and operating, trying to sell themselves. So
I'm assuming that you come to your clients with the framework, legally or not legally, that you have to stick to, but then really the input, you're looking for the input from the client, aren't you? Because it's about them, it's about what they want. Or do some people say, can you just do everything because we're too upset or we're too happy or whatever?
It's always different. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. So the main quality you need is to listen.
Mm-hmm.
That is really the heart of being a celebrant.
Mm.
So you listen either with your ears or with your eyes, if you can say that.
Yeah.
You look, you feel, you hear what's going on and get a feeling for the person or the situation, the grieving family, the couple getting married.
Mm.
The people who want the baby named or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be quite intuitive. So you really are following the lead of the family. If someone came to me and said, just do everything, I actually wouldn't accept, I wouldn't go through with that. That's not really, it's got to come from the person. It's got to come from the place, the family, or else it doesn't have meaning.
That's too impersonal, isn't it? It's too textbook.
It is, and it's not, that's not a ceremony. That's, I don't know what that is. That's like,
it's just
paying money, going to a registry office, or
going through the motions, rather than emotions.
Exactly.
Yeah. So what's the difference? So I'm sitting between you guys. So I've got a celebrant on my right, and I've got a minister on my left. Okay. So as a celebrant, are you able to do any ceremony in a religious building?
I don't think there's any issue about where the ceremony takes place. The issue may come from the church or the organisation who owns the building. So as far as we're concerned, there's no problem. The only issue would be safety, you know, those kind of practical things.
Okay.
So if you want to get hitched and you want to do it like jumping out of a plane...
Well, then Alan's got to jump out of the plane as well.
Exactly.
I would probably do a little assessment.
A risk assessment.
A risk assessment and say... You have to get someone else, sorry.
I'll wait for you on
my
the ground.
My insurance doesn't cover that.
Yes. When your parachute opens and you land, then I'll marry you. And, make sure your insurance is covering you, of course.
Indeed.
So I was going to ask something and I've gone completely blank.
Well, I want to know, do you spend much time with your clients prior to, you know, whatever the ceremony is that you...
Yes.
Do for them?
Well, I'm relatively new. I've only been doing this the last year or so. So I probably spend more time than the old hands. I'd spend a couple of hours with a couple before a wedding and the same preparing for a funeral, sitting down with a family. And that's a very intense meeting and it can be exhausting and it really depends what's going on in the room. Mm-hmm. But that's sort of the best bit.
The planning.
That's what I love. I love connecting. I love finding out what's really going on. I'm kind of nosy like that. And I can go in and I actually ask fairly personal questions to a couple, say, that I don't really know. Mm. But I'll ask them why they love each other. And it's quite meaty. I like it. It's juicy.
But actually, you have to get to know them in quite a short space of time, don't you?
Yes. Yeah. So that's...
You have to get to the point.
Yeah, that's the skill, actually. Mm. And if you can't do that, you're never going to reproduce their story well. Mm.
So do you think celebrants need to be spiritual people?
I don't, actually. I mean, what is spiritual? It's vague. I mean, you know, it's hard to define that. The core is that you have to have an appreciation for ceremony. Now, I don't know if that means you're spiritual or not. Ceremony is what's important because that's what a good celebrant is doing, is creating really good ceremonies for important milestones in people's lives.
So it's the content of ceremony.
Yeah. So if someone is a very spiritual person naturally or has some background in that and they can incorporate that and that has meaning, then that's fantastic. And certainly those celebrants are working out there and good ministers, I'm sure, are doing that. But I don't think it's essential. I think you've got to just appreciate ceremony and then do what you can, do your best to create good ceremony for that situation.
I wonder if you have to actually believe in the power of ritual, that, you know, it does hold incredible power to allow people to celebrate, to grieve, to whatever it is that they need to do.
Yeah, I think you have to believe in it to some extent. I mean, some celebrants believe in it more than others.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty pragmatic. I don't see myself as, you know, I don't want to, you know, there's plenty of hippie trippy types out there who... really probably believe in the power of ritual, probably more so than myself. But I do believe that those moments are so important and you can make symbolic gestures that really matter to people and that are very memorable and last and that help relationships to grow, that help sustain relationships, that keep families healthy, all that kind of stuff.
Wonderful stuff. Now we're going to go to your next track. Do you want to introduce it? Al Green.
Oh, let's stay together.
Appropriate. And you're on the Spirit Lounge with the three P's, the Priest, the Pom, and the Puff, and we've just got about 10 minutes left. We've been having a real educational hour, haven't we?
We certainly have.
With Ellen Spalding, who is a civil celebrant, and we've been finding out all about what it's like to be a celebrant and how you become a celebrant and what you do as a celebrant. So if people, I'm sure, who are listening, probably quite interested in looking into it a bit more, as we were saying, it's a great career for a lot of people. How do they find out more from you?
About celebrancy or about my work?
How do they contact you?
Oh, to contact me, they can visit my website, ellenspalding.com.au.
That's nice and easy.
Yeah, it's pretty straightforward.
That's great. So if you're looking for a celebrant to have someone officiate a ceremony, and we found out tonight that it can be a wedding, a civil service, a funeral, can be for people, can be for pets, it can be rituals, then Ellen is your person.
She certainly is.
Yep.
Now, did you know it was our 18th birthday coming up?
I did, because I listened to Joy 94.9.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just wondered. It's about the same age as I am, but yep. That's all right.
And it's on World AIDS Day, isn't it, the first?
Yeah. I wonder if that's actually... I thought we were older than that.
Are you talking about you?
No.
I wish I was 18 again, I should think.
No, I'm glad I'm not 18 again. Oh, goodness me, no. What a shocker.
I wouldn't mind doing it all again. I think I'd do some things a little differently.
Yeah. We should talk about that one day, shouldn't we?
We should.
If you could go back, what would you do differently? I've got invited to a party at work, which I don't normally go to, but you've got to go dressed as what you would most have liked to have been if you don't work for the State Emergency Service in life.
And what are you going as?
I'm not going.
Chicken.
I don't know. I reckon that I would actually have liked to have been an army nurse.
Really?
If I had my career.
You're just into uniform.
Over again. Yeah. My partner likes a woman in uniform.
Now we've got one more track before we quit tonight.
And this is by our artist of the month, mm-hmm. from right here in Australia, mm-hmm. Andy Sorensen. And this is a track called Hurricane.
My vision is blurry. I kick and scream and shout. I'm raising is blurry.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.